Wrestling with my brother. We got a podcast, yeah. Wrestling with my brother.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast that's beaten the final boss but found that the princess is in another castle. It's Wrestling with My Brother.
It's you, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I'm glad you got that reference, because it might have been a bit obscure. It's been interesting, hasn't it? Tell you what, I wish I was watching it again, to be honest.
Well, our greatest listener, my greatest friend, has been telling me all about it, yeah? He's been living it two nights, and he went on record and said it was the best WrestleMania he's ever seen.
It did sound amazing, and it sounds like since they've got rid of Vince, just everybody is a lot happier, and the storylines are starting to make more sense. It's more long-term storytelling, got better backstage morale, the fans are happier with the product, they're finally seeing some things they like, there are no stupid last-minute script changes, or you know, things aren't at the whim of one man's weird obsessions. It sounds like, you know, wrestling might be back. And wrestling is back, because the last couple of words that Michael Cole said, the end of WrestleMania on commentary, professional wrestling. Those words have not been allowed to be uttered in WWE for years.
Yeah, I thought exactly the same. I've seen loads of little clips. Even the ring announcer, how emotional she's been getting. Yeah, like you said, Cole on commentary saying that. I was like, whoa. But yeah, you know what I'm going to say? I wish the two big, you know, the two number two companies, basically, let's be fair, could mesh together now and have the top tier five-star matches of AEW with this storytelling of WWE. Because, you know, we've loved WWE all throughout our childhoods. The PG era has been pants, but yeah, for the most part, you know, they know what they're bloody doing. And even Paul Heyman said he's a Paul Levesque guy now. So, yeah.
When you think of the product that NXT was when Paul Levesque was in charge of it, when Triple H was running it, it was great. You know, and people were saying that should be the future model for WWE. And then I think AEW basically took what NXT was doing and ran with it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Vince had his way and cancelled it. But I think, well, we're certainly in for good things with WWE now. And who knows if it's available on Netflix for free next year, I might even start watching it all again.
Do you know what? We said similar, especially WrestleMania. I mean, God, you've got to watch WrestleMania every year for free, regardless, you know?
I'd watch the big ones. Royal Rumble, definitely. WrestleMania.
Yeah. It still doesn't feel like that's going to happen. I don't understand. I mean, you know, they're a multi-billion pound company, but I don't understand where they're getting their revenue from, putting it all free, because WWE Network was such a revolutionary idea and such an easy place to get so much content. It really did seem value for money. It's weird how that's fading away now.
Well, it's not free, is it? I mean, Netflix have paid them massive amount of money for it, and they'll probably continue to pay massive amounts of money to keep it, and hoping that it'll drive their subscriber base. It's interesting how the streaming wars are going. I don't want to get into too much detail about streaming, but, like, you know, they're all fighting for different entertainment products, and yeah, it's interesting to see where it'll end up.
Yes, I agree, and we shall see. But talking about the PG era, should we go on to our first segment? Because it's in theme with that.
Wrestling with Truth, yeah!
That's right. My turn this week. And I have to check every single time by listening to the last pod. So that should get our listener numbers up. Yay! Okay. This is my Wrestling with the Truth for you this time around. The current WWE TV PG programming is now longer than the entire TV-14 run of the WWF/E.
Maths.
Not your strong suit, I know. This is where I'm hoping I'm going to catch you out.
Numbers. Yeah, I think that's probably true, given that the way that time seems to go and things that seemed like a long time when we were kids, probably not that long these days. So yeah, I'd say what was TV14? What you're talking like from the 80s up to the Attitude Era?
No, because the 80s wasn't TV14.
What's
The
that then?
80s, well, I don't know, the golden era was PG back then, wasn't it?
What's TV14 then? Is that the Attitude Era?
Correct.
Oh yeah, I mean this is much longer than the PG era, definitely.
Well, it is longer, but not by too much. So the TVPG programming has been running since 2008. So 17 years, and the TV14 has been running since, well, from 1999 to 2008, which is 11 years.
Right, okay.
You can corroborate it if you want. Your eyes are questioning me, as they often do. You can feel free to go away after this pod and do your research if you like.
I'm not questioning you. Have you seen that meme of Zach Galifianakis with the numbers and the equations going round his face?
Yeah,
I don't know what
hangover.
that's from. A hangover, yeah, okay,
Hangover.
yeah. Well, that's me. Every time I've got to do some maths, I feel like that.
Well, he's an idiot, basically, and that's when he's at the casino trying to work out all the it wasn't the roulette, was it? I don't know, poker or something, and he's like, he's a genius, but in every other sense, he's an idiot.
Like me.
Wrestling with truth, yeah.
Oh, on to my first clip of the week. The second I saw this screenshotted, now it's on the pod. This is my boy and your boy, RVD versus Swerve Strickland at AW Dynamite.
Oh, getting worn out by RVD. Oh, this is bad news for Swerve Strickland.
Put the leg drop. I'll lead the audience. It's coming. Oh my God. Here it is. Let's take a look at it one more time, Tess.
No? I've been following the work of Mr. Monday Night, Rob Van Dam, since 1995. So for more dates for you, though, just let that sink in for a minute. Before ECW's first pay-per-view in 97, before he kicked Cena's ass for the title, before his awesome TNA run. Now he makes one-off appearances in A-Dub, and I am here for it. Question: does this guy look like someone in his 50s? He slowed down a hair, but my God, can he still move? And against such a rising star as Swerve, whose house? Strickland, no less. It's Swerve's house to answer that question. In a hardcore match as well. All the classic Van Damme moves here, including the corkscrew guillotine to the outside, which always looks absolutely brutal, and the beautiful classic Rolling Thunder. But yeah, Swerve not to be outdone, firing back with that huge sit-out powerbomb onto the chair and the Swerve stomp to finish. For the most part, this was all Rob, to be honest, and I bloody loved it.
Absolutely. I mean, my notes are very much the same. RVD just looks so good for a 53-year-old. Physically, he looks amazing. And to see
Yeah.
him still go, I mean, he wouldn't be able to do this week in, week out, but as the crowd chanted throughout this, he still got it,
Indeed.
And talking about the crowd chants, I love the fact that they still chant ECW when he pulls out a classic move like the leg drop or the Rolling Thunder. I mean, that promotion died 23 years ago this week. The WWE version of it died 14 years ago, but do you think those chants will ever die? No.
No, Siri Bob. We don't. We've discussed this many a time, though. The WWE vision, it never existed. That was nothing.
Well, that's true. It's like a bad dream. But can you imagine when we started watching wrestling in the 80s, if people were chanting, I don't know, Buddy Rogers, whenever somebody was trying to bring a real move, or Luthez, Luthez, or NWA, NWA.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, look at Paul's speech for the Hall of Fame that we touched on at the start. It says it all, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Strickland didn't have a lot to do in this match. I liked his counter to the monkey flip, which you talked about, and the swerve stomp. But, you know, the most impressive stuff was done to him rather than by him.
Mm.
Now, in principle, Strickland is a good wrestler with a lot of discipline. He's certainly not a slacker. But in practice, I didn't see it in this match.
Was that a Back to the Future reference?
Oh, he got it. Well done.
Got it again. 2 for 2. Can we have a little ding ding?
No.
We got it, bro. That's why we're brothers.
Our sound effects budget does not cover a ding ding, I'm afraid. No.
Yes, no, I there are way better swerve matches, and I will pick them because he is amazing. He's the number one contender at the minute for Samoa Joe's title. And yeah, he will blow your freaking mind. But I picked this because, like you said, a 53-year-old man, he's tanned, he's in shape, he moves. He's, like I said, he's slow to hear. Do you know what I mean? You look at Jericho, I appreciate him more now than you did back then. Oh, he's slow. He doesn't do half the moves he used to. He's obviously out, in and out of shape. RVD is just frozen in time, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think the difference is Jericho's still regularly wrestling, isn't he? Kind of.
RVD is.
Once a month or something. Isn't Jericho doing most weeks?
Not anymore. Jericho's doing a lot of talking, and RVD wrestles now and again at AEW, but he's doing indie shows all over the place, RVD. He hasn't stopped at all.
Yeah, but it's not the same schedule he was doing before with WWE and ECW, where they'd be wrestling week in, week out. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, they're both. It's amazing they can both still go at that age. Stamina and the endurance. But my point is, you know, he's not doing it every week, so he can pull out a really good performance every once in a
while. We'll have to see what his schedule's like, bro. He's still an active wrestler. I don't think he's chilling for the most part, but yeah.
The one thing I did see in this match, Samoa Joe being champion, and I assume he is still champion. What do you think of that? Do you think that's a good... Is he a good champion for AEW? I mean, I don't know how he's being booked. Is it? It seems to me that it's, I don't know, not very ambitious given that he's been around for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's another guy, you know. He hasn't slowed down a bit. He's vicious. Yeah, everyone loves him. He's meant to be a heel, and they're chanting Joe, Joe, Joe all the time. They love him. And yeah, he's got that fiery and that intensity. Yeah, he belongs in AEW. He doesn't stand out like some of the others have. Like Edge stands out. He's coming across as like a dad rocker now, and he's all right. Like he gives good steering speeches, but I'm like, you look tired. No, Joe is. Yeah, he's vicious.
As a tired dad rocker, I'm taking that personally.
He is like you coming in the ring. I've been practicing really hard.
Ah, good. No, I just wondered because I thought it was interesting seeing him be like the standard bearer for AEW. And I thought, well, you know, he's been around a while. Is he a good person to be leading the company when there are so many good up and coming young stars?
Yes, because they're not ready yet. They like I said, like with Dante Martin and some of the high flyers, they're fantastic in the ring. They're crap on the mic. They've got no character. Joe is fantastic in the ring, and his character is second to none. He's brutal. So. Yeah, they need the veterans. And Tony Khan does acknowledge that. He doesn't just put belts on people every other week like WCW used to. He actually sticks belts on people for a long time, which is very good. Unlike your next clip, I would imagine.
We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, this is my first clip. This is Steve Jones versus Dave Taylor on Wrestlo on S4C.
Croeso i fychanthed am y tro ola yn y gyfres yma. Nes ymlaen, mewn i Lan Trisant, tebyd Orig Williams a Geraint Clwyd yn cario'r faner dros Gymru yn y frwydr tag. Ond i gychwyn heno, Steve Jones o Gaerdydd a Dancing Dave Taylor o Bradford. Wrth y sgwar, ia, arbenigwr ar ddawns y glocsen, Nick Parry.
Yes, Steve Jones from Cardiff, who's actually Darren Matthews from Staffordshire, but better known to everyone in the wrestling world as Stephen, later William Regal, from WCW, WWE, and AEW. This clip is special to me for a number of reasons. First, it's from Wales, which is always a big deal for me, you know that. And not only that, but it's Wrestlo, which was a weekly wrestling show on the Welsh language TV channel S4C, which we used to watch back in the 90s on a Sunday afternoon when we didn't have access to any decent wrestling on telly.
It's true.
But most of all, it features a future WWE superstar, a legend of the sport before he hit the big time, which we love on this podcast. And this future legend is for some reason pretending to be a Welshman from Cardiff. I had no idea that this was part of Regal's wrestling past. I knew he'd wrestled all over the UK. He even started off in one of the last ever wrestling booths on Blackpool Promenade, where it dated back to like the Victorian era, where people would see if they could take on a wrestler or a boxer in like a mini marquee on the promenade there. And of course the wrestler wouldn't, they'd get him into a submission move. And yeah, that was how he started off, in like one of the very last ones of those.
God, he's old, isn't he?
He's, yeah. But to see him pretending to be a Welshman and wrestling in Llantrisant of all places just blew my mind. But it was quite a common thing in wrestling back in the day, but I think both here and in the States, if you were a face or a blue eye, as the British wrestling parlance had it, you know, but not that well known, certainly not one of the ones at the top of the card, you might change your gimmick or your backstory to get more over with the crowd. But obviously now that doesn't happen as much, or if at all, you know, with the internet. But it's always strange watching British wrestling from this period, because it's so different to anything that you might see today. And even, I guess, being the early 90s, different from the wrestling that a lot of people were watching from America at the time. And there's at least one kid in that crowd wearing a WWF t-shirt, so that's quite an interesting spot. You wonder if that kid was a bit confused by the slower-paced stuff going on, because it was a very technical match. Lots of technical moves and holds and, you know, counters, which was good from a technical point of view. But yeah, the lack of action really kind of stood out. You know, the drop kick was a good thing that sent Dancing Dave to the outside and through the barriers. But, you know, through our modern eyes, this is almost like watching a completely different thing altogether.
Paint dry, yeah.
Okay, you know that then. You must have loved watching Wrestlo on a Sunday afternoon back in the day.
Nakadu, Dwitham and Hoffi Wrestlo. And also, I prepared another bit for you. Hywel a Gaifa a'ch Theffranau Blant. Which, of course, means cheer for your favourites, kids, in Welsh.
Da iawn, Craig Evans, da iawn.
O diolch. Because that's what this bloody reminded me of. The Wrestling Through the Ages segment of me and our stepbrother frequenting the local leisure centre as young'uns. Oh, took me right back, bro. It's like I was there again and I learnt Welsh just for this segment. So if nothing else comes from this pod, it's me broadening my Welsh horizons. Oh, I'm talking of Welsh horizons. My God, you love Wales more than anything in the world, don't you? You are the most patriotic man I've ever known. Oh, why you didn't get that Nessa tattoo, I have no idea, because it wouldn't look out of place even now. You love it, don't you?
Doing Hoffi Wales.
You love it. You're just mad for it. But yeah, oh, your unwavering love of this country aside, this was another nice blast from the past and a true technical clinic. Lots of nice reversals and submission holds. Oh, God, still bloody boring for the most part, though, wasn't it? I thought you'd picked it for punishment because you knew I'd have to sit through that 10 minutes of just... Except, right, for that mental ending where the ref counted a 10 in about 3 seconds flat. All right, mate, give him a bloody chance. No wonder it went to a count-out finish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And they're both out of there. No shit, mate. Fucking hell.
I think they had to wrap it up. They'd probably gone over and the ref is like, right, I've got to do something to end this match.
Come on, lads, the bingo's on at 9.
I think I was blown away by the fact that William Regal has pretended to be a Welshman from Cardiff in a wrestling match in a Welsh leisure centre in the 90s. And maybe, you know, that didn't translate to any quality in the match itself, but it just, like, no. What? Can you believe it? It'd be like finding out that The Rock did shifts in Tesco or something.
Well, or Paul Levesque was a French... Was he like a debutant back in the day? Yeah. Just as odd. Yeah, I mean, oh God, I wasn't expecting Rey Mysterio, to be flying it, but she imagine paying the £1.75 it probably cost to sit there and you know what I mean? What sit through this? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was bored. I mean, the most excitement the kids got were when they had to put the barriers back together after they fell through them twice.
Yeah, the highlight of the evening, bro.
Oh well, let's move on to one of your highlights then. Let's just put this behind us.
Okay. Yes, my second highlight for the pod is Triple H lecturing the Tough Enough cast.
How you guys doing? Who's sore? Yeah? Been hard so far. Big man in the back, you taking the bumps tough? You been hurt? Big f***ing deal. Everybody get in the ring. Take a bump. Take one. Take a bump. Flat back. Just for further notice, one of your nuts is hanging out of your shorts. You got a big hole.
Yeah, I just think the whole tough enough thing was a great idea by the WWE and one that I'm amazed they ran with, given how mad they were at the likes of Beyond the Mat for exposing too much of the business. You know it's a marketing ploy when you got Vince McMahon trying to get this movie banned. But, kayfabe was a thing back then. And yeah, this really, really pulled back the curtain of what it was like to train as a pro wrestler. And, these one-off documentaries are great. The Louis Theroux one, which we've also shared. But this was a real, like, no, this is how you take a punch. This is how you sell a move. And, up until that point, oh, I'd like that video. It's still real to me, oh, damn it. There's still guys like that that are like, hang on now, there are schools for wrestlers? So, I picked this clip. There are a few funny moments. But it was more just to discuss the concept of Tough Enough and just how strange it was and how much of a good idea it was. Yeah, I mean, look at old Trips acting all tough here in front of the newbies. That's what I liked. Puffing out his chest, staring everyone down, even telling one bloke to pop his bollocks back in his pants. Whoa, real manly stuff, I mean, how dare he? Maybe the guy was trying to make a statement, stand out from the crowd as the first ever exposed wrestler. Bloody cut him down in his prime. But yeah, nice to see a young Maven and Josh Matthews here. One faded from existence after 5 minutes of fame, dropkicking The Undertaker, and the other went on to be a colour commentator. So, yeah, not much happened since. But, yeah, stirring stuff here from Trips. You can tell his passion, his love for the business. A great concept. And, I know I keep on mentioning AEW, but it's one that I wish they would have a stab at because I think it would work really well for their product.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, how do you portray toughness as a man? Simple. Step one, wear black t-shirt and jeans. Step two, puff out your chest and chew gum. Step three, talk tough. Snarl through a series of cliches in an angry motivational speech. Make sure to point out if a man's bollock is on show. Job done, go home.
Boom. You forgot to mention the t-shirt has to be two sizes too small for you so you can see your nips and all.
Yeah, and you have to hold your arms out like you're carrying two rolls of carpet. To be fair, I mean, Triple H did live up to his word and he did continue to do it until he couldn't do it anymore, and you've got to respect it for that. And now he's doing wonders for the business, as we said at the top of the show. I've got a lot of respect for everything that he achieved. He had, hell of a career. And when you think about what he managed to do as well, he did it in a ridiculously competitive era with some of the biggest superstars in wrestling history, and he still managed to carve out a top card career for more than a decade,
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was really good seeing this small glimpse behind the scenes. I mean, we've seen a lot more of it since then, because this was a while back. But yeah, it's interesting, the intensity that he has and that he shows and demonstrates why he was so successful. You know, when they're all taking those falls and then he shows you one, like, oh yeah, you know, it really puts into perspective how difficult it is to do what they do.
Yeah.
And then they do it consistently, night in, night out.
Yeah, because we know how mental the schedule is at WWE, like we were saying before. And yeah, you are on that. That wasn't hyperbole. You are on the road 300 plus days a year. It's mental.
For me, it's the clip where he was, or the part of the clip where he was throwing himself onto his back, you know, where they all had to do a fall.
Mm.
And that is difficult enough to do anyway, to throw yourself onto your back unprotected without putting your arms down to break your fall.
Yeah.
Even harder to do when the surface has no give. I mean, you could do it on a trampoline or a bouncy castle or a crash mat, but wrestling ring is quite hard, probably harder than it looks. And then when they did it, it looked bad enough and hard enough to do. And then he shows how it's done. And it's that, just that really small thing. And you think, my God, how many times during a match do you do that? And
what
toll does that take on you? It's just, it puts it all into perspective, really.
And that is the most basic thing that can happen to you in a match. That is literally someone's fake punch you to the face and you're falling onto your back. That is the most fundamental thing. That's the easiest thing within a match. And Christ, we take three of them, we'd be bruised for a week.
Yeah, and when one of them did it, you thought, oh yeah, that's good. That's how you do it. Then Triple H did it, and you're like, oh, Christ, you know.
Yeah.
10 times the intensity and 10 times the pain. And wow, yeah, it really, really does give you a different perspective and a greater respect for everything they do.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's created the likes of Miz and, you know, a few other top tier stars, but for the most part it was a reality TV show. I just thought it was this, okay, kayfabe is dead now, there's no way of hiding this, you know, heels can now ride with baby faces, there's no hiding that or protecting the business. This is very much, yeah, the schools exist to train people out to take bumps.
Yeah, it really is a glimpse behind the curtain. I wonder how Triple H and the other wrestlers initially felt about doing that from a kayfabe point of view, whether they were happy with showing all this, whether they were happy with these people who had no experience at all in the sport, just coming into it, and, you know, one of them is going to be given this amazing opportunity. You could tell there were a couple of times when he said stuff about that, and you thought, yeah, I don't think he's happy with it. But perhaps he realised, well, this is the way to go. You know, reality TV, we've got to be in it.
Well, he looked pretty pissed off prowling around his little titty top, didn't he? Let's be fair.
I mean, if your mum had put your T-shirt in the dryer, and it was too small, you'd be pretty pissed off as well, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
On to my second clip, last one for this episode. It's R-Truth getting very confused.
What are you doing out here? I'm talking about what the truth is going to do in Money in the Bank this Sunday.
You're not even in the match.
I'm not. You sure?
I'm positive.
This was on me. This is on me. Kane, my bad. New Orleans, I'm sorry. Y'all be good.
So this clip took place on WWE Raw back in 2015. R-Truth interrupted a promo featuring Kane, who was then representing the Authority, along with Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler, to talk about the upcoming Money in the Bank match. But as Kane points out, he's not even in the match. And if that wasn't funny enough, he then asks, "You sure?" Which just cracked me up. And I love the fact that he apologized at the end. This was on me, Kane, my bad. And I mean, you know, it's well known, despite the fact we have a wrestling podcast, that I haven't watched wrestling for a while. But apparently R-Truth has been doing this confused comedy gimmick for some time now. And it's a bit Marmite from what I can gather, which for our overseas listeners means you either love it or hate it. And there's no in between. I mean, from what I've seen of it in clips like this, I love it. And I think he's such a good performer, both on the ring and on the mic. And if you think about it, he started towards the kind of the tail end of the Attitude Era, didn't he? 2001, 2 kind of time. I think he was AQuick back then.
Yes.
And he was actually due to be at that wrestling show that we went to in Preston that we talked about in a very early episode, but I don't think he didn't make it over for some reason. But yeah, you know, for him to have such a long career in WWE is really impressive. And I've seen some more clips like this, and I'm going to hunt them out. There's one where he enters a Royal Rumble match with a ladder and climbs it like he's trying to retrieve a belt or a suitcase.
Really, I haven't seen that one.
He just stands at the top of the ladder with his arms out. He's like...
No, I disagree, because the amount of justified love that R-Truth, Ron Killins, AQuick gets that I've seen is unreal. I think people are loving him because there aren't many people who are funny, let alone this funny. And I think he's less Marmite as he's going on. He's more beloved as people are getting used to this type of character.
When I was doing research for this clip, I guess a lot of the comments that I saw were from around this era. So maybe people were a little bit like, oh, this is shit. But he's doing it for what, 9 years now, maybe?
Longer? Yeah. Yeah, the impression I get now is that people are absolutely loving him. But he doesn't age, does he? He looks amazing. He's fantastic in the ring. And yeah, he has tapped into this silly side, which has gone down a storm. I think it's safe to say there are a lot more people that love this gimmick than don't nowadays. Yeah, his face when Kane tells him he's not in the match is priceless. Half you having a laugh, half what the hell this fool talking about? Oh, and, you know, to see the tribal chief Roman Reigns laughing too, that is unheard of because he's such a serious character. Acknowledge me. But for him to laugh and smile is like when they used to try and make The Undertaker break back in the day. It was like, bloody hell, if he's laughing, that you could tell it was genuine laughter, you know?
Yeah, I think he does crack other wrestlers up and interviewers quite a lot from what I've seen. I'm going to have to hunt down more of these clips, even if it's just for my own personal enjoyment, because he's definitely got the comic timing and the facial expressions and everything down to a T.
Oh, brilliant. I was thinking about it. It's weird that you see like intentional cock-ups on TV these days, like proper like Crash Holly-style slapstick comedy, which isn't silly, which is like, he's clearly playing like a goofball, isn't he? Maybe he's had too many hits to the head and he's got a bit concussed and a bit confused. You don't see many people with that gimmick, do you?
No, and this is good as well, because he's not trying to pretend to be mentally impaired, as far as I can gather. He's not pretending, it's not like a Eugene situation.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like a clown in a way that Crash Holly did, because I know Crash Holly was tough, but he was short, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Funny walk and odd facial expressions. But I mean, you would not fuck with R-Truth, because he looks tough. So they haven't decked him out in a stupid costume or done anything zany. It feels to me that this is more something that he's developed rather than something that's been pushed on him. But either way, it's so funny. I saw another one actually. He was being interviewed, but being in Australia, and he kept saying he was in Austria.
But I think it's the John Cena thing, where Cena would just rap, you know, on the tour buses to entertain the guys, and Vince McMahon was like, "Hello, I'll do something with this. That's your new gimmick." I think Ron is just such a funny guy backstage that they were like, "Oh, do you know what? Get out there with the mic and just do this out there, see how the crowd react." I think he's always been a funny guy.
Yeah, he did. Oh, he did something on Raw last night. Actually, I think the Judgment Day, I think they had a match. Mm. They won some belts at WrestleMania. Anyway, people who watch this will know what I'm talking about. Mm. They were all celebrating, and then R-Truth came out and celebrated with them, with his belt, with his tag team belt, and they're like,
"I saw that. Yeah,
you're not part of this stable." And he's like, "I thought we were all celebrating."
Yeah. Well, Damian Priest won the heavyweight championship, and Rhea Ripley is a champion as well. So he came out, and I saw that. Has the Judgment Day got a new member? And he's so confused, bless him.
Oh, it's great. It's a great gimmick. But talking about confusion, I don't know if you've been confused that we haven't been around for a while. It's just us. It's just, you know, we like to surprise you, drop an episode every now and again. Why not?
That's not the reason, is it? We're busy and we're adults and we got... Why have I turned it to Andre? We're busy and we're adults. Anybody want a peanut?
Oh, he's always got to get an impersonation in. At least on a podcast. And now the allegations surrounding Vince McMahon, those are going to tail off.
Exactly. They did.
New characters.
Didn't you tell when I was like, I was so tempted to go, right, that's a character of the microphone. But he's ruined it for me now, hasn't he? With his shenanigans.
He's ruined you doing the impersonation that you just did.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're like God in this scenario. You probably cut all this out. It would be nothing. I don't know where you... I don't know what gets left on your cutting room floor, bro.
I mean, I'll certainly be using the You Are God clip over and over again.
Just 40 minutes of You Are God, You Are God, You Are God. There we are.
If you like this nonsense, follow us on social media at WrestleBrosPod. Subscribe on all the good podcast platforms, or follow us, or whatever the button on your particular platform is. We're on all of them as well, so just find us there. And if you do miss us in these increasingly larger gaps that we leave between episodes, just go back and listen to our back catalogue. There's some really good stuff on there. I listen back every now and again, and I'm impressed at how good we are.
Sure, I'm never impressed at how good I am, because I know it. But I'm impressed how good you are. You speak words well.
I'm God.
Bye.
Till next time.
Wrestling with my brother. We got a podcast, yeah. Wrestling with my brother.